That's Psalms chapter 131, page 625. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just start with a word of prayer. Yeah, Father, thank you for what you're teaching each of us about resting in you, about being content in you. And Lord, I ask that as we hear your word this morning, as I teach and share, Lord, that you would continue to speak to me and everyone here about who you are and how you're drawing us towards yourself. Amen. Well, here I am again. it's an honor to be here and to be able to speak this morning. I've chosen Psalm 131 really because it's been quite meaningful as a psalm to me this year. And I've called this talk Cool, Calm and Contented. And it's all going to be about finding that place of intentional quieting and rest and contentment before the Lord. And I think that's because this is something that God has really been trying to teach me. It's something I'm not very good at, naturally. God sort of led me towards, through different circumstances in my life, led me towards a sabbatical season. Took 6 months away from work this past year. And that was a really great season. God did many things and used it in many good ways. And this is something that I needed to learn a lot more about. And God really has been trying to teach me, and I still need to learn about. So cool, calm, and contented. In contrast, we have this saying, don't we, in the world, cool, calm, and collected. And I don't know about you, but have you been feeling cool, calm, and collected in this heat wave we've been having? Anyone notice it has been kind of hot recently? We were really, not disappointed because it's been wonderful, hasn't it? But I bought jeans that I wanted to wear because it's usually too hot to wear jeans in Thailand. And I thought, I'm going to spend 2 months, you know, wearing my jeans and cardi and my scarves and enjoying the drizzle. And it's just, we've had this glorious sunny weather, which has actually been such a blessing. But anyone ready for a bit of a cooler day? Yes, it's been hot, hasn't it? What about, has anyone felt cool, calm and collected being an England football fan recently? If you're a cricket fan, that's going slightly better since yesterday, but still, you know, we have these ups and downs, don't we? You know, the highs and lows of life and watching England play Croatia. Let's have a moment of silence. No. Our souls get agitated and disturbed by many things. A few weeks ago, David King was preaching from Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water. And in that psalm, there's this refrain where the psalmist is asking his soul, his very being, why, soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And it goes on to say, put your hope in God. So we do get downcast, don't we? We do get disturbed. Sometimes those things come from outside. Maybe there's conflict going on with other people. Maybe we have the threat of financial worries or actual threats to our well-being. Maybe there are unfavorable circumstances, when we lose the football. Or illness or accidents, distractions are just part of life. Or perhaps there's inner agitations that we experience. Perhaps we suffer from anxiety or discontent, or we're envious of other people, or we're angry about something, or bitter. So there are things that happen in life, turmoils and stresses, from the outside and from the inside. And these are a normal part of life that we have to deal with. And the Psalms are full of laments and prayers and praises, really from real people expressing real emotions, coming before the Lord and saying, this is how I'm feeling. So then we come to this very concise prayer, and it is very short. It's one of the shortest Psalms, where David is expressing that he is quieting himself before the Lord. And what I want to look at today is, how is he doing that? And how do we do that? And what is the Lord trying to teach us through this psalm? Because when we're going through turmoils or stress, or even when we're just plodding through the very mundane things of life, where nothing much is happening, God really wants us to come to him and for our souls to be at rest in him. David, in the middle of this, he says in one version, surely I have composed and quietened my soul. Doesn't that sound great? Surely I have composed and quietened my soul. But how has he done it? How has he got there? So my favorite quote about this psalm is by Charles Spurgeon, and he said it's one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. And that's so true, isn't it? So we're going to look at these three short verses this morning and see what we can learn, recognizing, though, that we need to keep practicing, that we're on a journey of learning to be content in the Lord. This is a journey that we're learning through life. So this is already a very short psalm, but if you could sum up each verse with just one word each, and the whole psalm, you could sum up the whole psalm with the one word, contentment, and the key words for verse 1, 2, and 3 are humility, quiet, or you could have chosen rest or calm, depending on what version you're reading. And then in verse 3, hope. So this, these three verses give us three very neat points for this talk. Practicing humility, quietening your heart, and living in hope. So verse 1, practicing humility. So David begins in this psalm with, my heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. And far from, I think, just being a random beginning or even just sort of an intro to the main point about contentment that's in verse 2, I think that this rejection of pride is actually itself a key to contentment. So the first thing you need to do to find contentment and rest in the Lord is to practice humility. And David talks about pride in three ways in this verse. He says, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty, and I haven't concerned myself with matters too great or wonderful. And so one of the meditations that I read on Psalm 131 by a guy called Ray Fowler, who I have to acknowledge has really helped me and has influenced this talk I'm giving. His notes on this psalm really helped me see that these three ways of renouncing pride speak to three temptations that we tend to have and that disturb our contentment. So first of all, my heart is not proud. In the Hebrew version of Psalm 131, it actually starts with, O Lord, my heart is not proud. In the English, it says, my heart is not proud, Lord. But in the Hebrew, it starts with, O Lord. And I think humility and contentment starts with a focus on the Lord. When the word proud in that verse, my heart is not proud, it means in the Hebrew high or lofty or tall. And when it's used of the heart, it takes on the meaning of being proud as in lifting your heart up high, overvaluing yourself, conceit, arrogance, vanity. So this, a proud heart is pride in relation to yourself. And that this pride is a main obstacle between us and God, isn't it? It's what caused Satan to fall, because he just considered his own wisdom and himself more important than God. And Proverbs 18:12 says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. And we all know that saying, pride comes before a fall. Well, that's where it comes from, this proverb, Proverb 18:12. So when you lift your own heart up in pride, then the danger is that you're going to fall. And so, yeah, that's a proud heart is coming between you and God because you have this wrong view of yourself. And the second aspect in this verse that David mentions is my eyes are not haughty. Now, when we think about that being the eyes being haughty, what does that conjure up to you? Kind of looking down on others, comparing yourself, disdaining others. So this is pride. This evokes sort of pride in relation to other people when it's about our attitude to others. Putting others down, constantly comparing yourself to others, constantly convincing yourself that you're better than other people, feeling superior, that kind of pride. But actually, there's a more subtle side to that. Perhaps when you feel you're inferior to other people. So because you feel inferior and you're worried about that, you're constantly trying to prove yourself or get attention or justify your actions in relation to others, because you have low self-esteem. And that's a more subtle kind of pride, but it's still a kind of pride in relation to other people. So my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. You can begin to see why pride does not lead to contentment. If we're comparing ourselves, if we're considering ourselves more important than God in our lives, it's not going to lead to contentment. And why this declaration about humility really leads to David saying in verse 2, surely I have composed and quietened my soul, because he's really come before the Lord in humility in relation to himself and to others. But before we get there into verse 2, let's try and figure out what this third statement in verse 1 is talking about. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Now, this is a bit of a puzzler, really, I think, in it to our modern minds, because we've got the internet and we're always trying to concern ourselves with things that are too wonderful for us, or at least I am, trying to find out stuff and do great things for God. And we think, well, what does that mean? Surely we should be doing those things. But if we think about it, it's a mistake that many of us make to try and take over the role of God in our own lives. So if the heart is, we've got the heart, we've got the eyes, and this third part is actually about the feet, because the word that is usually translated into English for concern myself actually in Hebrew is the word for walk. So it's a metaphor, and it can be used for physically walking through. But it also is used in the sense of how you walk or conduct yourself in your life. So this is about how you conduct yourself in relation to God. It's about how we walk with God through life. And David here is saying he's willing to admit that there are things that are beyond him. He's saying, no, I don't know it all. In a modern speech, we talk about being a control freak, don't we? It's about stopping trying to be God, play God in our lives. And I think it's a mistake that many of us make, that we want to take over the role of God in our own lives. And the danger there is that we just become burned out and disillusioned as a result. And that's not going to be the key to the contentment that we're seeking in the Lord. And it's definitely something that I've struggled with. And a lot of people in ministry do, because they're like, let's do great things for the Lord. It's about searching for significance in places that we shouldn't. And so this is all about pride in relation to God. And here David is saying, God is God and I am not. And a real key to contentment is recognizing that. A great quote that I read is, you might be a wonderful person, but let me assure you, you would make a terrible God. And I think we do make terrible gods of our own lives. There are things that are beyond us. We don't have to continually prove ourselves or be concerned about our own greatness or accomplishments. This part of the verse might seem a bit strange to us when we first read it, but it's the antidote to wanting to prove ourselves and saying to the Lord, you know, there are things that are beyond me. I don't have to play God or control everything and everyone around me. I can be content in the Lord in that. So just to recap, the first part of this is David is saying there are three kinds of pride to run away from if we want to be content. Having a proud heart, pride in relation to yourself, just lifting yourself up, considering yourself more important. Proud eyes, just comparing yourself to others and looking down on others. And then really just trying to pray God in our lives and being too caught up in what we're trying to achieve for him rather than coming to him in rest and quiet. So then we move on to verse 2. So pride is the root cause of much stress, if you think about it, and aggravation in our lives. It can lead to drivenness, anxiety, envy, anger, as our expectations of ourselves and other people aren't met, low self-esteem, bitterness, negativity. You can see why it's not a key to contentment. So David's saying, I renounce all that, and here I am in verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. So this verse moves on into how we actually do it, how we come before the Lord. Before I really studied this psalm, when I read it, when I got to this verse, I didn't really think about it. And so the picture that came to mind was like of a nursing child with its mother, sort of like, you know, nursing and discontent, like an infant. But actually, when you read it and think about it, that's not the picture that David's painting at all. He's specifically saying, this is a weaned child. And he likens himself to this weaned child. And what is weaning? Well, I think most of you know what weaning is. It's when you stop nursing a baby, when you stop feeding them milk and you start feeding them solid food, and then that transition becomes complete, they're weaned. And so this picture that David's painting is actually a picture of contentment, coming to a place of contentment after a struggle. Because if you think about it, weaning can be a bit of a struggle, can't it? Because you're taking away something that has comforted that child and replacing it with a new experience which isn't always appreciated. Has anyone ever had baby food spat back over them? You know, weaning can be a messy business. So this is, a picture of post-weaning, you know. And in the weaning process, there might be tears, there might be agitation, there might be cereal all over your carpet, Eddie. So we're now moved beyond that aggravation, that agitation, that transitioning, and we've returned. It's a picture of a child that's actually content and quiet again. David's saying that just as a baby is no longer just coming to its mother for milk and what he or she can get from its mother, it's now coming to his mother because of the sheer contentment of being at rest, being in that safe, restful place on the mother's lap. And that's the picture he's trying to paint of God. We're coming to God not for what we can get from him, but because that place of rest with him is what we need. Weaning is a new stage of maturity in a child's life. This wanting to quiet our heart and come to a place of rest with God can be a new stage of maturity for us as we walk with God. And I think I've really found that this last year. as I've practiced coming into a place of calm and rest. We begin to realize that we don't actually need what we thought we needed. Like the baby that wants milk but actually needs solid food to grow and develop. Weaning is learning you that you can't always get what you want and you can't always have your own way. It's a process with God. We can't always get what we want in this life, but are we content just to be with him and trust that he will meet our needs? So God wants us no longer to clamor for the things we think we need, but to return to him and be content in him, to rest in him, to desire him for himself and not just for what he can give us. Stop struggling, God says. Stop your restless clamoring and be like a weaned child with its mother before me. So just to finish, and I am finishing, verse 3 is an invitation to hope in the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. So hope, along with humility and this quiet before the Lord, is an essential ingredient for us in contentment. As we recognize that we're putting our trust and our faith, our hope, for all of our life, and it's a practice that we need to keep applying and trying and coming to the Lord and repenting of when we go to ourselves first instead of him. And we're putting our trust and hope in the Lord both now and forevermore, David said. Can we trust God for our present needs? And can we trust God for all our future needs too? So, yeah. Psalm 131, cool, calm, and contented. Not collected, necessarily. We won't always be collected in life, but we can be contented as stress and boredom and difficulty set in our life. We can still be content before the Lord as we practice humility and run away from those temptations to pride, as we learn to quieten our heart before God and live in hope in him. So, yeah, it's been a joy to spend some time thinking about that and having God really teach me a little bit more about that. So thanks for letting me share about that this morning.